Well, good morning, Harefield, and welcome to another Sunday morning service. My title this morning is Give a Dog a Bad Name. Have you noticed that names tend to stick? When I was at primary school, I was in the class with two other boys who had the same birthday as myself, and the other two were called Michael, and one of them was called Michael White. Now, Michael he was a little bit chubby, and so we always used to call him Tubby White. Now, of course, it doesn't do these days, but we always used to call him Tubby White or Tub, and, you know, that was what we called him. There was no malice in it. Nobody raised any problems with it. Teachers used it as well. And then we moved up to Mark Hall. We went up to secondary school and he was still Tubby White. And all through secondary school, he was Tub. And then sort of in year 11 or the fifth year or something, he went on a bit of a fitness regime and he slimmed right down. And in the end, he wasn't chubby or fat or tubby in any way. And yet, what did we call him? We still called him Tubby. Tub White, that was his name. Names stick. And I can remember, many years ago when Julie and I were first married, we were approached by one of these financial advisors, and he wants to sell insurance, he wants to sell a policy so that he can get quite a generous bonus. And this guy came, I'm going to change his name because I sort of Googled him up yesterday and he's still working, so I'll change his name. His name, for the benefit of this morning, was Nick Oakfield, and he came round to our house, and he wasn't a bad bloke. He told us the benefits of having, you know, insurance policies and endowments and all the rest of it, and we did do some business with him. We gave him some money, but the trouble is with Nick. Oh, did he stink? Oh, he was a smoker, and of course he smelt first and foremost of stale cigarette smoke. He really did. Coupled with that, a bit of BO. Imagine if you can, you know, an empty bloater paste jar mixed with smoke and BO, and gives you some idea. And after he'd gone, you know, we had to fling open the doors and the windows and get the old air freshener spray out. And Julie and I, to our shame, we called him Stinker Oakfield. And he made appointments to come and see us, and we tried to put him off, but he wanted to come and in person, he'd visit us. He doesn't come from this area. He came from, I'll tell you somewhere else. Anyway, he'd turn up occasionally, and, you know, and we'd say, oh, Stinker Oakfield's coming, and, you know, don't feel good about calling him that. I mean, it even got to one stage where the phone went, Julie picked it up, and she realised who it was. He introduced himself, wanting to speak to me, and she calls out, John, it's Stinker Oakfield. And I thought, anyway, names have a habit of sticking. You know, and it's hard to shake off the meaning of your name or your nickname. In the Bible, of course, names have got a huge meaning. They really have. I mean, they have great relevance. And for instance, my name, John, means gift of God. Now, don't laugh. That's what my name means. And names have all sorts of meanings. I have to say, when Julie and I were expecting our first child, because you know what parents do, you get one of these books of names and all the meanings and all the things you don't think of, and you know, Judy didn't like my facetious suggestions for names, but you don't want to lumber your child with names which have, you know, connotations. I mean, my name, my middle name is Richard, so I was JR. And of course, all of a sudden, way back in the 1980s, the soap opera Dallas came along, and of course the villain in that was a guy called JR. And various people, my father, his parents always wanted to call him Bill or William, but they didn't want to put it first. They also wanted the name Charles, and they didn't want him to be W.C. Mavery. They didn't want to be, you know, water closet and all the rest of it. So they called him C.W., but they always meant to call him William. So, you know, parents are often very, very wary of what they call their children, just in case something comes along. I'm afraid you can't plan for everything that happens in this life. But of course, one name that we looked at, because I come from an Irish family, the name was Brendan. Brendan, that's quite a nice name, an Irish meaning. And we looked up the meaning of that, and it's a person who lives on a hill. Oh, that's all right, that's okay. And then we looked down at the alternative meaning, and the alternative meaning is stinking hair. And we thought, no, we won't do that. Anyway, I was working in London at the time, and I got a call from one of these salesmen who wants to try and sell you stationery, you know, the usual stuff, copier paper, and how many reams of copier paper do you need this week, and how many envelopes do you want? And no, I wasn't working with a diplomatic corps at the time, and he says, yeah, my name's Brendan. I'd love to tell you, you know, I'd like to we supply you with some stationery for your office. And so I said, I know the name of Brendan. You know what it is? He said, no, I haven't got any idea at all. I said, well, I can tell you. He wasn't very, he didn't warm to the meaning of his name, especially the stinking hair one. Anyway, we label people with their names. I mean, you can call people. I mean, you know, there was a young boy at school that some of the members of staff used to call the dribbler. Why? Because he dribbled a lot. And you can call someone the thief, the liar, the traitor, the double crosser. Now, the Bible is an amazingly wonderful book. It really is. It doesn't fit into any category. You know, it's got all sorts of facets to it. It's history, it's poetry, it's accounts of people's lives, it's biography, it's prophecy. It's more than that. And so it is a wonderful book. It makes other holy books, so-called holy books, look sick by comparison. And, you know, some of the Bible is made up of lists of people, chronologies, genealogies. And 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there's one of these lists of people. Now, a list of people is a bit boring. It's like a sort of a register for in a primary school or something. But it's not. Usually they are a little bit boring, but you need to just delve in a little bit. In one sense, you don't have to delve too much. Right in the middle of this list of descendants of Judah, it breaks off for an aside. And it deals with a guy whose name was Payne. Now, if there's ever a fairly concise and easy to understand descriptor of somebody, it's this. He was called Payne, you know? And, you know, we can have a little quiz this morning now. It could be quite rude, actually, but of course it wouldn't be, because you people are members of Harefield Church, so it's not going to be rude at all. Pain in the neck, pain in the side, pain in the backside, could go worse than that. His name was Jabez, or Jabez, which means pain. And if ever there was a description of somebody that's so easy to understand, but so damning, is the word Jabez, pain. It's another small beginning. A little baby boy is born. And it was a difficult birth. It was a painful birth. But his mother said, I know just the name for this little baby. I'm going to call him Pain. Because he caused me so much pain. I don't think that was the wisest move to make. So Jabez, or Jabez, which do you prefer? I prefer Jabez, I think. And in 1 Chronicles 4, I'm right amidst this list of people. It breaks off into just a little bit of detail, a little tantalizingly little glimpse, a little hint, little clue about Jabez. And it says this: Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, does that mean his brothers weren't honorable? No. But it does mean that he was stood out among them. You see, Jabez had a bit of a hard start in life because he was called the Pain. And you know, there are some names that none of us call our children. We just don't do it. We don't call them, you know, Judas. We don't call them Pontius usually, or Beelzebub, or Lucifer, because those would be a terrible burden for a child to have to bear. Just like Jabez, or Pain, was a terrible burden for him to bear. Can you imagine growing up? Oi, you! Oi, Pain! Come over here. Oh, you are a pain. Every day. Oi, Pain! Come over here. I want a word with you. Oh, don't be a pain, Pain. We used to have a... When I was in primary school, we had a boy in our class called Alan Peace. Alan Peace. And he was a bit of a rogue, a bit of a rascal. One day he was off school for a day or two. He may have been ill, he may not have been, I don't know. When he came back, Mr. Hardwick, our teacher, he said, Oh, Peace, you're back. Yesterday we had a bit of peace because you weren't here, Peace. I thought, that's very mean. But the Bible says that Jabez, in spite of his name, was more honourable than his brothers. You see, you don't have to settle for what has been handed to you, unless it's been handed to you by God. If it's been handed to you by others, then you don't have to settle for that. You don't have to let that define you. In Jesus, you know, it's a bit of a curse that Jabez had because he was called the Pain. In Jesus, there is freedom from this, a bit of a curse. It could be broken. But he was better. He was more of a man, more of a person to look up to than his brothers were. And he resolved in God that he was going to break this pain. And he was going to become something better. Maybe the solution to pain. Maybe he was going to be the ointment. Maybe he was going to be the balm that soothed pain. And how does he start? Well, from a small beginning. He realizes he's been saddled with a negative name. He realizes that he is a pain. He's been called a pain and he's been treated as if he's a pain. But am I going to be a pain all my life? Or am I going to bring relief from pain? So he calls out to God. See, his mother had given him the name Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain, so he's a pain. Terrible. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. He realizes that he could change his name probably, say, I'm going to call himself something, but nobody in his area was ever going to forget that he's called Pain. And he realized that he can't do anything himself. And we need to come to a realization in our life. You know, we might have been dealt a very bad hand. We might have been dealt things which we would rather not have in our life. I don't know what it is. Maybe your parents weren't the best. I mean, I know my parents weren't the best. They were very good. They weren't the best. We're all not the best. And I wasn't the best as a parent either. Still not. whatever, there may be something in your life that is bringing you down. You don't have to settle for that. You can cry out to the God of Israel, and God will hear you. And this is what he says. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." You know, we all want to be blessed. And guess what? God wants to bless us. And he shouts out to God, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Now, I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, name it and claim it. Oh, this is the prosperity gospel. Just give me something more. I want more possessions. I think we'll see later on that that wasn't what Jabez was about at all. And neither should it be what we're about. He says this, "Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm." What is wrong with praying that God will keep his hand upon us and keep us from harm? You know, harm comes to all of us, and our lives are full of things which we'd rather not happen. But God has all that, and he knows what is best for us. "So that I will be free from pain." He doesn't want to have pain in his life anymore. In fact, quite the contrary, he wants to, I think we'll see in a little bit, he wants to give relief from pain. He wants to live in an opposite spirit to the spirit that his name conjures up in everybody's mind. You know, God just wants to bless us, and God does want us to ask him for things. And guess what? God granted his request. God heard him. And so my message to you this morning is, you don't have to be subject to the picture of what you are seen as, if that makes any sense. You don't have to submit and settle for the condemnation that can come from you because of your circumstances, because of your name, because of your family, because of your reputation. In Ephesians chapter 1, in case you're not sure that God wants to bless you, it says these words, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." He has blessed us already, and he longs to bless us still further. Do you want a blessing from God this morning, or do you want to be a pain? Obviously, what the answer is, you want to be blessed by God. You see, we're already blessed, but we can keep asking God to bless us and our families and our brothers and our sisters in Christ and those people who are suffering in the world, those people who are in pain. We can bring relief from that pain. You see, we see a lot in this day and age of the victim mentality. I can remember when I was a teacher, in my class, which I had for 5 years, there was a young lad in that who, he was a bit of a victim. And he did get picked upon a bit. And you know what kids are like. I could speak to them as a form tutor. I could pick out some of the ones who picked on him individually. And I could speak to them. And I could try and reason with them. And still he seemed to get picked on. Every day, every time, we had about once a term, we used to have a non-uniform day, which you'd pay money, I don't know, they paid 50p or a pound or something, so that they could come in whatever clothes they want, whatever they wanted. And, you know, the first time, it was very popular. I mean, the kids loved not having to wear school uniform because school uniform was a constant battle. Anyway, one of these days, he turned up in a sort of a shell suit. It was quite unfashionable. And he got ribbed something wicked. He got mocked and scorned because his clothes weren't right. So that's why I am always a very strong supporter of a school uniform, because everybody is wearing the same thing, or roughly the same thing, and even though they rebel against it, it gives everybody, puts everybody on a level footing. So a couple of these non-uniform days, he turns up, he gets mocked because he didn't have the latest gear. Third one, guess what? He's off sick. Fourth one, always brought a note in, but he was off sick. He never was in school again for a non-uniform day because he knew he was going to get picked on. He was going to be a victim. In this day and age, there are a lot of victims about, so-called victims. You know, the kind of stuff that we have encountered in the last few years by various protest groups, organisations. I have to be careful what I say, but the thing is this. Everybody agrees that Black Lives Matter, but what goes along with that is the breakup of the nuclear family, the traditional family, the defunding of the police, the shutting down of prisons, a Marxist agenda. Extinction Rebellion. We all believe that we should treat our planet correctly, but what's behind them? It's the same ideology. And so many of these groups, whilst you can't disagree with their aim, they've been hijacked by left-wingers, Marxists. I mean, not just left-wingers, Marxists. And Marxism depends on there being a victim and an oppressor. And we just have to be on our guard. One thing's for sure, Marxism leaves God out completely. And God is not in any of their ideologies whatsoever. You know what? In Jesus, we do not have to be a victim. Yes, we may be persecuted. Yes, we may have the mickey taken out of us. Yes, things will get difficult for us. But we do not have to be a victim. Guess what? In Christ, we're more than conquerors. And so I believe that we don't have to settle for the hand that the devil wants to give us, that the devil wants to use. You know, I'm a failure. That's no good. I'm no use. I'm hopeless. Guess what? That is a lie. And God wants to use you. Do you believe that God has plans for you? Do you believe that God wants to achieve wonderful things through you? Right, well then you need to ask God to do that. Now, this thing about enlarging my territory, bless me, Lord, and give me more stuff. Is that the name it and claim it, the prosperity gospel? Do you believe in prosperity gospel? I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, but one thing's for sure, I don't believe in poverty and being broken and being defeated, because I believe God has much greater plans for all of us. I believe that you shouldn't be a pain, because Jabez was not a pain. I believe in asking God for the things that he has revealed to you that he wants to do. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain. In other words, I don't want to continue in this misery that's been foisted on me. You don't have to be a victim. Yes, you can be persecuted, but you don't have to be a victim. God's got those plans for you. Whatever your past, whatever you've been told you are, you know, you'll never amount to anything, you'll be useless. However you've been treated, God wants to raise you up. And God granted the request that Jabez put to him. Why? For a comfortable life? No. For God's work and glory. Now, you don't find this in the scripture, but there are other documents, attributed to the time, where we can actually see a little bit more of what Jabez did. And he wanted to work for God's glory. Now, let's just have a look. Give a dog a bad name. The pain. What does the pain do? What does Jabez do? Well, he sets up a school for 31 children. I'll just read this. It's It was a religious institution for Levite children of Zipporah. And he was called Jabez because in his council he instituted a school of 31 disciples. They were called Tirathim because in their hymns, their voices were like trumpets. And Shimathim because in hearing they lifted up their faces in prayer. Jabez set all this up. And one more, which I think is wonderful. They were called Sukkothim because they were overshadowed by the spirit of prophecy. And there we have it. Did he want the extra land for himself? No. He set up this school to be a blessing to others. He doesn't want Jabez to be a pain. He wants Jabez to be a blessing. He wants Jabez to be a soothing influence, a calming influence, but also an inspiring influence. And so this school they set up with their voices, they sang their hymns, sounded like trumpets. Well, yeah, maybe you don't want to hear them. Someone sound like a trumpet, but I think the imagery is there. They lifted their faces in prayer to God and a spirit of prophecy. If there was not a greater place you'd want your kids to go to, it would be, I think the best place to be would be at Jabez's school. And there's something else. We don't have to continue to have this bad name. We don't have to continue. Look what it says in Revelation. It says, we will all be given a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. We're going to be given new names. If your name is no good, if your reputation, that you don't feel that's any good. You know, we sing, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Names are so important. And God wants to give you a new name. That's something that we have to look forward to. But we do not have to settle for something that's been foisted on us by the devil. You know what? Here's something I heard which I think is very important. The devil always condemns. And when you hear people condemn you, whether it's in the church or outside the church, you know, you're this, you're that, you put labels on people, that comes from the devil. What does God do? God convicts us of our sin. Why? Because he wants us to see for ourselves in a loving way that we are actually getting out of God's will and we want to move back into it again. The devil accuses and condemns. God convicts and restores. So, one more slide there. Let's give a dog a great name. You know, I'm not saying your dogs or anything like that. It was just a snappy title. And, you know, God wants you to have a great name. What about the name of this church, Harefield Church? What sort of a name has it got? Have we got a good name or a bad name? Have you got a good name or a bad name? What does God want for you? Do you have the faith to pray that God would enlarge your territory, not for your own good, but for the good of the gospel? A small beginning, a small baby, saddled with a terrible name, the pain became something that God was pleased with, someone who God was blessing, and someone who blessed others because of God. So that's it, Jabez. I pray that you would pray the prayer of Jabez and that you would move further into the things that God has for you. May God bless you all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that whatever our past, that whatever our name, whatever our reputation, you can break it, Father. You can make us into the people that you want us to be. And Father, I pray that we would ask you to bless us. Lord, you would bless us as a church, that you would bless us as individuals and our families. You would enlarge our territory, but not for us, Father, for you, for the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would just move in each of our lives, that we would discern between what is condemnation coming from the devil and what is conviction coming from you, Father, only because you want the best for us. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Enlarge our territory for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Amen.